In the good old days, before I was born, in the good old days of the 1928 prayer book, and indeed all the way back to about 600, we had the same 52 epistles and gospels every year. Since the 1960s, we've been on a three-year lectionary cycle with allegedly different readings on the Sundays of A, B, and C. Well, in the good old days, this Sunday, the third Sunday of Advent, was always known as Gaudete Sunday. Gaudete from the Latin, rejoice. And the epistle was always that passage that you've just heard from Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say, rejoice. And the hymns were more upbeat, and the readings spoke of gladness because Christmas was right around the corner. Rose-colored vestments were worn instead of violet, and today some churches continue that tradition. We light a rose candle in the Advent wreath today. So the theme of the Sunday is rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord always. Let your gladness, your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything, but in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. But there's another theme this Sunday, and it's the preaching of John the Baptist. You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Even now, the axe is being laid to the root of the trees, and every tree that doesn't bear good fruit is thrown into the fire. So Gaudete Sunday is a little bit schizophrenic. In the gospel, John is busy calling people snakes, repent or fry. In the epistle, Paul is saying, don't worry, be happy, the Lord is near. These are contradictory readings, contradictory advice on how to prepare for the Lord's arrival. One says, straighten up, fly right, get your act together, or else. The other one says, pour yourself a glass of wine, kick back, and relax. Well, which is it? What are we supposed to do? How are we to get ready for the Lord's coming? Well, I think the way to bridge these two seemingly contradictory preparation plans is to remember that the gospel, if indeed it is gospel, is always a two-edged sword. And the gospel always cuts two ways. As one of my seminary professors used to put it, the gospel is meant simultaneously to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. Now, there are times in our walk with God that we need to be shaken out of our complacency and receive a good kick in our religious rears. There are other times when the weight of life has beaten us down and we desperately need to put away anxiety and fear and worry and trust that the Lord is near. And the text today speak to both of these realities. In the gospel, John is furious with the people because he sees through their religious charade. He looks over this crowd that's come out to Never Never to be baptized, and he realizes that many who come, well, their motives are not pure. Some in the crowd are there not out of sincerity, but to instead receive baptism as a sort of insurance policy that requires no premiums, no righteousness, no real faith. To those looking for religious cover, the gospel, the good news, comes as a harsh word, They're told to stop being hypocrites, to bear fruit worthy of repentance. Being children of Abraham ain't going to cover them, for God can turn even stones into children of Abraham if he so wishes. So the authentic way for them to prepare for the Lord's coming is to have a changed heart, to not only talk the talk of faith, but walk the walk of faith. Those with two coats are to share with those who have none. Those who have food are to divide it with others, and so on. Now, the text from Philippians speaks to those who are religious, but more often than not, their religion is not a joy, but a burden. To these people, preparing for the Lord's coming was a daunting task, a matter of dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's of life, as if salvation were some sort of self-justifying spiritual precision. And St. Paul knew that no folk, no matter how good, how righteous, no matter how vigilant, how faithful, were not capable of earning their way to salvation. Salvation and the joy that comes along with it comes as a free gift of grace, lest anyone should boast. To those who are worried about somehow being perfect enough for the Lord's coming, the message is to rejoice because the Lord is near. Now, nothing much has changed in the past 2,000 years. When it comes to the preparation for the Lord's coming, and especially the Lord's coming at the end of our life or the end of the world, God's people are still prone to extremes. Some of us fret about religion to the point that joy is lost. Still others slide into believing that religion is a game to be played with skill and that grace comes cheap. And most of us at various times in our lives are at one of the two of the poles, at one time being fearful and at other times being presumptuous. So on this third Sunday of Advent, this Rejoice Sunday, let's be earnest in preparing for the Lord's coming. It is time to bear fruit worthy of repentance, to amend our lives, to amend our ways. We can't begin to say to ourselves, we are children of Abraham, or we are Episcopalians, or we are nice, or we are sincere, or anything else that we might like to claim for ourselves. We who are not worthy to stoop down and untie the Lord's sandals, how can we possibly earn our salvation? So Advent is beginning to wind down. We're on the downslope now. And Paul's advice is to rejoice because the Lord is near. Have no anxiety, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And then when Christmas comes, the peace of God, which does pass all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, our Lord. So let's stand and, in the words of the Nicene Creed, affirm our faith in the Lord who has come and will come again. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all nations.